The shenanigans continue. This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Gotta love this one. 62-year-old man and his 60-year-old wife left Paris with their 22-year-old daughter for a 27-hour road trip to Morocco. Well, sometime around 4:30 a.m., they pulled into a gas station. Daughter stayed asleep in the back seat. Man fueled up and drove off without his wife. He didn't notice she was gone until 4 hours later.
She's the only other person in the car.
He was 200 miles south of where he left her. At around 8:30, he called the police. Could not remember the name of the gas station or even what city he was in. Luckily, French authorities were able to track her down using her cell phone. She'd been sitting at a gas station for 4 hours, likely contemplating every bad life choice she's ever made. The wife was not hurt, but yes, she was furious.
Physically not hurt.
Yes. Police originally thought the guy may have abandoned her on purpose, but after an investigation, they ruled it an honest, if especially dumb, mistake. Our question, what went wrong? Because you weren't paying attention. 206-803-RIDE.
He's just got to look at her and be like, I'm dumb.
You know that's the worst drive back. Like, oh my God.
He still hasn't had sex. That happened when? I want to say 2 months ago. I guarantee you. I guarantee you she's still... won't make love.
Is this the same story where the daughter was in the back?
Yes, yes.
Hey, why don't we blame the kid?
Yeah, why did the kid say anything? Like, hey, Dad, where's
the kid
mom?
The kid was asleep.
Sure, that's what the kid said.
So the kid must have slept through the entire 4 hours.
Mom, I was asleep.
I think it's the dad and the kid were just for 4 hours. Like, what do you think? Should we just keep going?
You want to put it on our radio station now?
Right.
Cool. All right, we'll go back and get it. Just say we forgot.
Want to stop for a real snack?
Yeah, they probably got dinner, saw the movie they wanted to see. You know, F1's coming out. Hello, Allison. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Hola.
Hola. Pichola. So, way back in middle school, I went to the locker room to get changed for, you know, PE. Walked out to the basketball court and was just standing there talking to a friend. When another friend came up and asked me why I didn't have any shorts on and why I was just there in my underwear and t-shirt.
You've got to be kidding me.
I am not kidding. It was awful.
You walked out to gym class in just a t-shirt and underwear?
Yes.
Oh, I feel embarrassed for you now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were sober.
Yes, and it was junior high school, like junior high. I mean, I wasn't fat or anything, but it was still very embarrassing.
I mean, I guess that's a little better because you're only, what, 9, 10?
No,
middle school.
You're 13, 14, 15.
So like,
yeah, you should still feel embarrassed. Like 11, my bad.
12.
You're hitting puberty, all that kind of thing. So I'm assuming this is a co-ed gym class?
Yes.
And none of the boys said anything?
No, nobody. Not even the friend I was talking to.
I wouldn't have said anything either.
I get why the boys didn't say anything.
This is awesome.
I wouldn't say anything now. I'd be like, Allison's not wearing pants, but I'm not going to bring it up. I mean, look, that I understand the guys, but like, did the gym teacher happen to notice anything?
The gym teacher wasn't out there yet.
Ah.
Because, you know, we were all just kind of talking, waiting for the gym teacher to show up. But the most embarrassing thing was on the way back up, because then, of course, that's what I was thinking of, is all the boys or whoever was walking behind me as I'm, like, running up back to the locker room, like, singing. And thank God it was pre-thong, so, you know, at least I had, like, regular...
I would like to think that middle school is pre-thong, but you had your tennis shoes on and a shirt.
Yes.
I don't know. Once you add shoes, it just makes the whole thing weird. I don't know
kinda,
what that is.
Yeah, you're kind of Pooh-bearing it.
Yeah.
So, I yeah, Pooh-bear. I am known to be very spacey. And, you know, my whole life, on all my report cards, everybody, all my teachers are, like, saying, you know, Allison daydreams a lot. And so, yeah.
Oh, well, I used to get that all the time, too.
I'm spacey. Oh, did you?
I did. Yeah. All the time. Like you know, most of the comments were somewhat decent. You know, should work harder, pay more attention, blah, blah, blah. And very seldom was it anything negative, but definitely daydreamer.
Oh, I got it all the time, too.
You're creative. You're just a creative sort.
Well, and I remember in high school.
I tried explaining that to my parents, and it turns out, while I was correct, they didn't want to hear it in those moments.
And I had a period late in the day, and they sat me next to the window.
Like, don't do that.
Come on. Right, I'm looking out there at freedom.
Yeah, and they tell you, don't look out the window. I'm like, you install windows in the school.
I walked to school second grade with my pajamas on.
That's better than your underwear, bro.
But they were like, they were matching pajamas, like button up. I can't remember what the was.
It like a onesie or was it two different pieces at least?
It was two different pieces.
Okay, thank God.
It was like, it was just like a generic baseball design. You know, like the glove, guy had the plate, whatever the deal was. But I got to school, I took my coat off, and I'm like, oh my God. So I put my coat back on because I was just terrified. But I was still in the pants, which were pajama pants for sure. I had shoes and socks on and the button up shirt. And I'm just like, this, I don't know what happened.
Did you go all day just in your pajamas or?
I was a latchkey kid. So there were mornings where my mom had to be at work earlier than not.
Yeah.
So sometimes she was there. Oftentimes she was not. This was a morning where she was not there. So I went downstairs. Got my bowl of cereal, did whatever I did, brushed my teeth, combed my hair, put my socks, put my shoes on, did not even think to change my clothes.
I mean, look, I like the idea that even without mom there, I fed myself, I brushed my teeth, I combed all the things you ask your kids.
I did all the things I normally do.
You just didn't put on clothes.
I did not get dressed. And they get thrills right
so
there.
At the end of the day, you got the most important stuff done. You just, you embarrassed yourself.
Right.
Yeah, if I'm a parent, but, I'm like this, I know you got to deal with this, but you did all the right things, you just forgot to get dressed.
Mm-hmm. So here's a question. Like, Allison, we're all adults. You're in a gym. I mean, some women wear some skimpy outfits as it is.
Yes, they do.
A woman walks in. You're pretty sure she's just wearing underwear. Do you say anything?
Nope.
No.
I don't.
No. Ted, there's a woman at the gym. Oh, God. She wears these tights. And I'm telling you, you can see nipple. You can see... They're kind of blackish gray.
You can look at them and say you're pregnant.
I'm telling you, you can look through them. I mean, you can look through them. And I don't, this is not a bad thing. I just, it's one of those things where it's like a double take. Like, am I really seeing what I'm seeing through her outfit?
Yeah.
Like, is, yeah. I cannot stare. I'm not going to look up. But when she walked by me, I looked up and went, I can see through her stuff.
But, I mean, that's kind of the thing now. There was a chick on the light rail yesterday. She was not necessarily my type, but she was braless, which is fine. And she's wearing a pink top, but I could see directly through it because I remember I had opinions over nipples because I could see them clear as day. We were at, I won't say where, but we were at a department store within the last few weeks, and my son was loving it. I was loving it. But I even looked at my wife, and I said, at what point is what you're wearing illegal? And keep in mind, this is just the fashion of the day now.
It's kind of but stuff like that's 80, like what Kanye's West wear, his wife wears.
Oh, so
Bianca's the same color, sorry. Like it's kind of a blackish gray. Yeah.
But like every chick, I mean, their ass is hanging out. And I said, to be honest with you, if they weren't wearing the shorts, it wouldn't be any more revealing than what they're wearing anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, so I'm just like, there's just butt cheeks. And look, some are better than others, for God's sakes. But nevertheless, like everywhere I looked, and it's not like it was this one woman. It was probably 90% of the women in there under a certain age anyway. Like, their ass is just hanging out. So at this point, why even waste the money on shorts? Just walk out in your underwear. You're fine. I'm seeing exactly as much as I would see.
It's amazing.
It was great. But I mean,
so I was going to say, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was.
And everything.
Like, and my son never says anything, but I'm like, I know he's looking at what I'm looking. Because there was this ass everywhere we looked.
I could almost see how she
grooms.
That is correct.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was the darker shadow part.
Yeah,
and I was like, wait a minute.
I can see it all.
Wow. Well, it's a thin line too. It's like, I don't know. You want people, like, you obviously want to be comfortable in the gym and wear what you want.
Yes.
But there's some of them, like there was one woman and it's like a low cut top, but then there's like an open window of cleavage.
Yeah.
And then there's shoulders and sleeves. I'm just like, if you just connected that top, but like there's a window of cleavage.
Yeah. So I'm going to look at your cleavage.
Yeah, right.
Right. Like, I'm not going to stare, but like, I obviously look. What,
is this is this like a test?
That's what I'm saying.
It's like a challenge shirt. Like, I'm going to find out who the pervs are. No, you're not. Everyone is going to look.
Look, if my I'm not saying D everyone's a perv. Is hanging outside of my pants, I'm not going to be upset that everyone's looking. It's like, obviously you're looking.
Are you checking me out?
Yes.
What went wrong because you weren't paying attention? 206-803-ROCK.
Right. I mean, if you walk down the street, like, throw us down a story about being shirtless. Like, people are going to look.
Well, the difference was, I really wish they weren't.
Yeah.
But I understood why people were looking at me. It's like, right, I'm a shirtless guy in freaking downtown
Seattle. Or it's like that naked guy I saw at the festival in the river. And he stood right at the line of his junk. And it's like, just go deeper or just have it out.
Right.
But the way the water is,
your eyes are drawn.
It's just drawn to it every
maybe
it
was,
time.
Maybe it was tickling the bottom of his. Yeah.
I don't know. Same thing with this lady. Like, why do we have a window just for cleavage if we're not supposed to look?
I think you're supposed to look. Otherwise, why would you do it?
Yeah.
Like I said, you don't put a window to not look out of it. So, I mean, if you're putting a window in your clothing, that's where my eyes are going to go.
Yeah.
Don't look at my car. Just wash it.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Wrigley Field that day, 50% of the women were in bikini tops.
That's great.
I was just trying to keep my head down and watch the game. It was bikini tops and cut-off jorts.
Yep.
Did you have sunglasses?
Yes, but I still think you can see. For whatever reason, they're not reflective, so I still think you can kind of get.
Oh, you can see them.
You can see
them. They know that you're checking them out.
Yeah. And they all had baseball hats on with their hair pulled back through it. And I'm just like, can I get a hot dog, please? You know, I just need to distract myself.
I wouldn't even have seen the
bag of peanuts, just keep my face in it.
Yeah, I mean, it happened to me Saturday. My one buddy, his wife, she's a very attractive friend group.
Okay.
So, I mean, I had my sunglasses on all day.
Yeah.
What went wrong? Because you weren't paying attention. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Randy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So not so much me, it was my dad when he was in the Air Force back in the 60s. And he got into a service elevator. It's real old ones where it's the old wooden doors that you push up and then you close them yourself.
Yeah.
He didn't close it all the way down. There was a little gap. And one of his foot was hanging over the edge of the elevator. Well, it started going up. And as it went to the next floor, the concrete caught his toe, flexed it, and he stopped it, went back down, looked at his boot, and said, oh, I think I'm okay. There was just a cut in the boot, but then all of a sudden, blood just started oozing out. So he took his boot off, one toe was gone, and another one was hanging.
Ah! What toe was gone?
The pinky toe was gone, all the right. One right next.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, the next one was just hanging, so he had to get that amputated. But the only good thing, if anything that came from it, is he did actually eventually get discharged with medical.
So yeah, he's got eight toes.
Yeah, so he got a check every month, a little check, some money, but an awesome insurance for him and my wife. But yeah, he said he wasn't paying attention and just all of a sudden felt something squish his boot and looked down and
see. I would take one of the toes and go like Wendy's and put it in a Frosty and then see if I could really make some money.
I'm going to sue you for what is this? Oh my God.
What went wrong because you weren't paying attention? 206-803-ROCK.
I mean, in theory.
Put it
right?
In a taco, you know?
Because like, a lot of people, you know, they'll find, like, you know, a fingertip is in their taco, all right? And then they sue for $20 million. I mean, in theory, assuming you did not bite into it, shouldn't you just get, like, a card for a taco?
Something.
Now.
$20 million because you found a finger. It's not like Wendy's took your finger. Sorry, Wendy's, we're just using you as an example. But it's not like Wendy's chopped your finger off and said, eat it.
Right.
We put it in the taco. Someone else lost their finger. Tragic for them. Somehow it ended up in your taco. I see the finger in the taco. I mean, in the end, like $20 million is great. But honestly, like, I just wanted a taco.
I feel like if there's a fingertip, you get the right to sue for millions.
But a toe, no one's going to believe it.
Unless it's that random bar where people drink shots with a big toe in it.
Yeah, I don't know why people do that.
What went wrong because you weren't paying attention? 206-803-ROCK.
People are insane.
That explains it.
And they're drunk.
Yes. Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So first off, I have ADHD, so a lot. But the one thing that came to mind like right away was I was doing a delivery for a company I used to work for, and instead of taking some stuff to Seattle from Arlington, and I was like, okay, cool, pop in the address. That was what I thought was the address, anyway. Down to downtown Seattle into a really sketchy part, and realized I was at the wrong address. So I started to back out, and I was like, the truck's not moving that well. I wonder what the hell is going on. So I just, like, give a little bit more gas. A little bit more gas. And that's when I noticed the yellow pylon tearing into the door.
So you messed up the company vehicle.
Correct. I have never actually messed up one of my own vehicles. But company vehicle, yes. Actually, twice.
How did you mess up the other one?
So I was getting on the on-ramp in Bellingham. And I didn't notice the semi merging over because it is that one where it's an on-ramp and an exit, yeah, all in the span of like a couple hundred feet. So he just started slamming over, so I popped my brakes on because I didn't realize he was right there. And I had a piece, a nice little patch that's like a water that was semi-icy, and that slammed me right into the Jersey barrier right about by Iowa.
Now, what happens when you mess up the company vehicle? Like, do they just deal with it, their insurance? Do you get in trouble or what?
So, the first time, the owner just, like, because he didn't want to do an insurance claim, the guy that worked next to us, he owned the body shop, so he just did the body work for us, which was like, okay, that's kind of cool. And then the second one, yeah, no, that was a bit more like frame damage, couple other things. And then they're like, okay, yeah, no, we're just going to, like, take away your forklift license. I'm like, wait, how does a forklift come into me driving a car? I'm like, but anyway, so that was about the extent of it. And then I actually found a different job after that, so I don't think there was anything else other than they might have gotten rid of me, but who knows?
Okay. Do not hire him to drive your comedy vehicle.
No.
That's my thought. Jesus.
I did it once. I won't say whose company vehicle it was, but I was like probably 18, and they had borrowed a minivan from work, and I clearly took a corner too closely and scraped a telephone pole.
Okay.
So I kind of heard it, and then I kind of was like, well, I don't know, probably wasn't me. And then, yeah, that person, one of my parents was like, do you know what happened? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when we worked at Baltimore at the sports station? The Pontiac Aztec had just come out, which is the ugliest, dumbest-looking vehicle.
Probably in the last 40 years. It's probably the ugliest vehicle other than a PT Cruiser.
It is inexplicably stupid-looking. But anyway, our company, believe it or not, we got a deal to have one. And it became the company vehicle. Now, to make it worse, we were the Ravens' flagship station. So now they've taken a Pontiac Aztec, which is already about as attractive as a bucket of armpits, and they wrap it. And all these purple decals, and there's a big Raven's head on the side. Like, you can't not look at this thing if it's going by. Now, we did not drive it to the stadium. I do not know who did, but me and this other guy, Ben, back in the day.
For reference point for people, the car that in Breaking Bad.
That, oh, they have a Pontiac Aztec?
Yeah, he drives an Aztec in that show.
So if you know that show, but picture purple with the big Ravens logo. Like, it's just, you can't miss this thing. Yeah. So we used to laugh about it all the time because it was in the parking garage at work. And we're always like, that's the ugliest, stupidest thing. And our boss at the time, who shall remain nameless, he was like, can you believe we got a deal on this? We're like, yes! Anyway, someone else drove it down to the stadium. We're down there doing the game. And at the end of it, boss rolls up and he's like, hey, I need you two to take the vehicle back to the station. We're like, which vehicle? Because there were other vehicles as well. He's like, the Aztec. We're like, no. He's like, what are you talking about? Just grab the keys, take it back to the station. We're like, dude, that is an ugly vehicle. He's like, oh, it's not that bad. We're like, it is. But the important thing here is that I don't want to be seen in it, right? Because even though everyone in Baltimore is a Ravens fan, when they saw this vehicle, they laughed out loud at it because it looked that stupid. And I'm like, I'm not getting in that thing, man. I don't want to have anything to do with this. My buddy Ben's the same way. He's like, nah, man, like that. This is not the vehicle. He's like, guys, just drive it back to the station. Just take it back. We need someone to take it back. Like, well, who brought it down? He's like, well, he's doing other things now. He's going to ride back with so-and-so. Just take the Aztec back.
No, he's not doing other things. He didn't want to drive it back and be seen it.
And I just remember he's holding these keys in his hand with a little keychain swinging under there. And he thinks he's doing us a favor. Like, hey, I'm giving you this great responsibility. But, like, we don't want any part of this, man. Seriously. Like, it's that ugly. He's like, is it really that ugly? It is embarrassing.
Yeah.
It is embarrassing, and I don't want to be seen in this vehicle. Well, anyway, we end up having to drive the thing back. Right? I mean, we're pleading with him. Like, dude, please, please don't make us drive that. We'll take any other vehicle back, right?
Yeah.
But we don't want to drive that. But he goes, no, the other vehicles are, like, for equipment. This is just kind of promote the station and promote the Ravens. And we're like, right, we get that. We don't want anything to do with it. We end up driving it back. So Ben's driving, and I have the seat completely reclined. And he's like, come on, man. I said, no. I don't want anyone to see me in this thing. And he's like, well, they only see me. I'm like, well, that's a you problem.
That's, yeah.
I refuse. And until we got back into the parking garage, finally put the seat up. Seriously, dude, I cannot explain how embarrassing this thing was. And every time we stopped at a light, you could hear people outside commenting on it. And in Baltimore, they don't pull any punches. Everybody expresses their opinion to you.
Out loud.
Yeah. Look at that dumbass. Blank, 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 blank. Come on, man. And then they're saying our station. I'm like,
oh, no.
I'm not showing my face, bro. It's like, what, 15, 20 minute drive? But, all right, we got it back. Ben's like, never again. I said, dude, lose the keys somewhere. He's like, for real? If it's up to me, throw them in the trash can and just say, look, we don't know what happened to the keys. Oh, yeah.
What are you going to do?
Never even gotten that thing. Ben would not do it. And I'm like, dude, I will do it. He's like, no, man, we'll both get in trouble. I said, look, I'll take the heat on this. I'll just tell
him. That bad?
Mike.
Have you seen this car?
Yes.
It's not that bad.
It is. And again, in Baltimore, it's different when every single person outwardly comment. Like, if you get on the bus in Baltimore, everyone there, they'll talk about what you wear, how jacked up your teeth are, what your hair looks like. It's just, everything's a roast, right?
Sure.
So, like I said, every time we stopped at a light, I could hear everyone just killing this thing. And I'm like, I do not want to be seen. It was that freaking ugly. Swear to God. I'm like, nope.
Our question, what went wrong because you were not paying attention? 206-803-ROCK. Title of the article is, why does your brain go blank? The answer is, like you said, Steve, meetings.
I'm telling you, man.
Zoom.
And honest to God, as you go, I read through this article and I'm like, this is why your mind goes blank in meetings.
Yeah.
It'll make sense.
Not really does. Sometimes your brain seems like it's not working. That might actually be a sign that it's doing its job very well, according to popular science. They say, according to a study published by cognitive neuroscientists, mind blanking, those strange moments where nothing's going on upstairs, might occur between 5% and 20% of the time. These are those moments when you just zone out, don't remember what you're thinking, just stop paying attention. Think about it this way. When you walk into a room and go, why did I walk in here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. And then you stop for a minute, and it takes you about, and then 20 seconds later, maybe you have to walk out first. Then you'll figure it out.
Walk back out. The one thing I read about that, it's a transitional something, and it's the idea that if the thing you need to do in the other room or the thing you need to grab in the other room is not of paramount importance, your brain, just the way we operate, when you step from one place to another, even if you're just walking from your living room to the kitchen, for whatever reason, when you step into the kitchen, your brain kind of restarts again, right? So now you're, but you forget why you went into the kitchen. All you know is that you need to be in the kitchen. Now you're in the kitchen, but you have no idea why the hell you're there. And they said it's just a weird thing. Once you walk through a room, for whatever reason, that's why it happens. You laughing at me sitting so close?
Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, man,
I assume I know why, but it's just odd.
We're working on some stuff, all right? Mike said, hey, man, just slide a little closer to Miles as we work on this stuff. And I said, man, that's fine. But
I thought you were just thinking I was sexy.
Well, I thought he was looking at your computer, but I'm like, he's talking. He's finishing a thought.
One more thing
I got to do at the next break, too. Yeah. One more thing I got to do at the next break.
What? Oh, my God.
That's all I'm thinking.
All right.
That's all I'm thinking.
Okay. Then if that's the resolution to this,
I can see why. Is it possible that
I think this is perfect?
Yeah.
Anyway.
We'll explain it later.
As close as you are now, you can't be farting. That would be assault. You're so close to Miles.
I wish I had to fart right now. To me, this is the place to do it. I know.
Yeah.
I do it on the elevator when we're in there. I walk into BD's office, I'll blow it out.
I want to show him something on my computer, right? But I'm eating a cup of clam chowder, and he farts all the way around the desk and then gets as close as he can to me. And I've got my mouth open, like with a spoon in my mouth, and I'm just basically eating his farts.
You're welcome.
And clam chowder.
And clam chowder.
That just seems like the worst thing to have.
It really does. For whatever reason, clam chowder might be the last thing I want to eat when someone else farts. Sorry, man.
Sometimes when he farts in the office, if I have my lunch, I'll just get up and leave. I'll just put the top back on, like, I'll come in here, look at this computer.
What went wrong because you weren't paying attention? 206-803-ROCK.
I don't know why, but it is making me nervous. Like, what? What do you want?
I know. I feel uncomfortable sitting here.
All right, good.
I don't like it. It's just too close. It's like we're pilots or something.
Right.
Hello, Conrad. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, boy.
Hola.
All right. So this is back when I was young and dumb. In high school and college, my summer job was working on the railway. We were double tracking the CP mainline up in interior British Columbia, kind of out of the middle of nowhere. I was working with a group of about 10, 12 guys in our section gang. Anyway, my job was after they built the skeleton track, I'd go behind and put on these J-hook anchors around the railway ties to keep them straight so they didn't get crooked. And I'd tap them on with a hammer and come back later at the machine and clamp them on. So
practice day. I think it was like the summer of 86. I'm bent over, tapping on these J-hooks, and all of a sudden I see that in my peripheral vision, this big fluffy black bundle of stuffed animal, which I thought it was. When I open up, it's a beautiful young bear cub. And it was only 4 or 5 feet away from me. And it was so fluffy and so cute. It was so passive. I just wanted to go touch it and pet it. I mean, that's the first thing reaction I had.
Yeah, that's the normal reaction.
Did you think the mom might be around?
Thank you. It's a cub.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. I didn't clue into that. That's the dumbass part comes in, right? So I start taking...
Oh, look at your little baby bear. Come here, fella. Come here.
Exactly. So I see my crew is about 50, 60 yards to the south of me down the track. They're waving their arms back and forth, like crossing their arms. They start pointing at me, and I stand up like, what's the problem, guys? What's going on? And that's when it clues into me, like, uh-oh, if there's a cub, that means mom is not far behind.
Yes!
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 I turn around, there's the mama bear, big, huge-ass bear, holy smokes.
Oh, bear, big-ass bear.
You're like, big, huge-ass, yeah.
Yeah. It sucker's staring me down, and I took a quick look at the cub, and by the time I look back at the mama bear, she's starting to charge at me.
Oh.
So I start running towards the guys at the section gang, thinking, oh my God, I got to outrun this thing. Don't fall. Don't trip. I'm wearing, big, heavy steel tool boots, running into this gravel, and I'm just spitting it up. And I'm like, I'm going to die. This is the last day of my life. I'm like, what's going to happen? And at the same time, the guys from the crew, one of the guys drives these great big John Deere tractors with a bucket on it. He starts boogieing towards me on the track.
Uh-oh.
Okay, hopefully we can catch it. So I do a shoulder check about 20 to 30 seconds into my run, and now the mama bear has passed the cub and split that gap of 60 yards, and he's only like 30 yards behind me now. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so close, it's so close. Anyway, I meet up with the tractor, get in there, jump in the bucket. He raises the bucket up like 10 feet in the air, and the mama bear stops about 15, 20 yards from us and just opens its mouth, and I expected a louder growl, kind of like a lion would do. He made a grunting sound, but it wasn't as loud as I thought it would be, but it was still pretty intimidating seeing that wild bear that close.
I thought you were going to tell me the mama bear kept running and ripped him out of the cab. And
hi.
No.
Hey, I want to thank you for keeping an eye.
Machine.
Wow, man. Right. That is that, I'm assuming that's the closest you've been to a bear.
What's that?
I'm assuming that's the closest you've ever been to a bear.
Closest I've ever been to a bear, other than in a cage, and then to death, too, I would say. Because that's pretty much a sure thing. If I were another 15, 20 seconds, or if he was further away, I mean, the guys were further away, I don't think I could have outrun it. I was exhausted by then. It was probably a 45-second sprint in, work gear, yeah. And I don't know if I could have gone much further.
So if you've ever been up to Whistler, they have a giant tram that goes from one mountain, one side of the mountain to the other.
Yeah.
It's pretty high up there, but it's all snow covered, so you can see everything. I saw three bears on that one ride over.
Black bears?
Oh, in between the two mountains. Three bears just hanging out on the side of the hill. I'm like, they just need to walk up the hill. I mean, there's the people skiing.
No, they're hoping you fall.
And they do have those videos up there at Whistler of bears. They're like
chasing skiers.
They're not even chasing them. Like, they're passing them. They're like running beside them. It's like,
Jesus, man.
They're just playing. Like,
I mean, worst one I saw, I think, was a moose.
They have moose up there,
and
too.
The dude's, like, snowboarding, and the moose is just...
Hauling ass. Hauling
down the hill, and it's like the moose just... And I know they're aggressive. It just seems pissed at that dude.
Mm-hmm. Is it closing the gap on him?
He gets close, but the snowboarder ends up getting away, and the moose kind of gives up.
But there's definitely
a period where I don't think he realizes the moose is that close.
Yeah.
Because he's still kind of making turns as opposed to
and
just
he doesn't
going.
Know it's that close, yeah.
Yeah.
What went wrong? Because you weren't paying attention. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tyler. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So when I was 17, unfortunately, I was in a juvenile drug court program. And because of that, I was on house arrest for the weekend where I was supposed to call in every hour between the hours of 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. And since I didn't have an ankle monitor, my neighbor needed some yard work done. I needed some money. So I went to my neighbor's and... ended up cutting my finger off with the hedge trimmer.
Jesus!
Did you go to Wendy's afterwards?
You have super long fingers. How did you pull this off?
So it got jammed up, and it was like an electric plug-in Black & Decker one, those old-school ones, right? Yeah. And it was jammed up, and I didn't pay attention. My finger was still on the trigger when I went to pull the stick out of it. And it, yeah, it got the tip pretty good. So he heard me yelling that my dad's neighbor and runs outside, and he's like, oh, you need to go to the hospital. So we go to the hospital, not thinking much about it, and I come home and call in the rest of the day. And so the next week I had drug court, and yeah, I ended up doing a week in jail because I was at the neighbor's house doing yard work.
So you cut your fingertip off and had to spend a week in jail?
Yep. Yep, pretty much.
Man, that is crappy.
Good times.
That is crazy. You got to pay attention, man. And, you know, just working in kitchens, it's always, if you're chopping something, always look at what you're chopping. Yeah. And I knew that, and that was my golden rule. Only one time did I not do it. And the worst part about it was, I swear to God, I looked up for like one half of 1 second. I was cutting potatoes. It was an open kitchen. The waitress asked me a question. I'm still looking down, cutting the potatoes. She asked me something else. All I did was look up just to make eye contact with her.
Yeah.
In that split second of me looking up at her, I cut basically my fingerprint off, and you can barely see it now. Like, it's a little...
Yeah, you can barely see it now.
So, and it's when I looked at my finger, basically, if you're looking at the palm of your hand, so it's my middle finger, and it looked like I was wearing a hood, because where your fingerprint is was gone, just sitting on the cutting board. And it's just kind of fat and everything underneath, and I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me, right? I mean, a billionth of a second I look up, it happens that fast. I had to go to the hospital. It wasn't a big deal. They basically super glued it back on, and eventually it kind of grew back, but I thought if I ever have to get fingerprinted, they'll be like, bro, we know it's you.
Buddy came over and we were just throwing a bunch of food together, and whatever he brought over, he needed to cut something up. So he takes the cutting board out, starts cutting with my knife. He's like, these knives really need to be sharpened. And he's like, you know, I can sharpen knives. I've got a whole thing.
Okay.
He's like, I do it all the time. And I'm like, no, because I'll cut my finger off. They need to be slightly dull in my world. Ideally, anyone would rather use
the knife. As far as hurting yourself, like you, in the end, you do about the same amount of damage because it's how much pressure, right? You're putting on.
Like tip down, but bang, it's right? Gone.
But the sharp thing, it's a cleaner cut. It is easier to fix, and more importantly, from my point of view, it does not hurt as much. A dull knife, okay. When you cut through yourself, right, with a dull, like I'm telling you, it's like tenfold worse.
Really.
I swear to
like, okay,
a sharp knife sometimes, when we get our knives like super sharp.
If you're going to cut yourself with a knife, it better be sharp.
Correct.
You want it to be sharp.
Sometimes
you don't even know you've cut yourself until you see blood on the cutting board because it's that quick and it's like the mandolin, right? That blade is razor sharp.
It just happens.
By the time you realize that you've basically taken all the skin off your knuckles or whatever it is, like it's because you see blood in your food.
Right, yeah.
Then it hurts.
I saw our mutual friend, this won't shock you, but Veggie Dog keeps his knives very sharp.
I believe that.
So our other buddy may have had a couple more beverages than we had.
Marjan?
Not going to say who.
But someone who looks like Sean.
Three of us. And VD nicely, he goes, these knives are very sharp. And VD said, they are very sharp. I keep them super sharp. You're a little drunk. I don't think you should chop up that celery. I can do it. I'm not that drunk. I swear to God. Not even 30 seconds later. He's got his holding like his finger. He's like sucking on it. It's like, you just cut yourself, didn't you?
No.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right? I was like, God damn it.
He just told
you. I mean, he just told you don't do it.
Come on,
What went wrong? Because you weren't paying attention. 206-803-RON.
He usually listens to people when he's drunk.
Yes. Hello. Well, I mean, that's the thing. We had all been like, it's like Christmas Day, right? It's in the evening. We're making these crab cocktails, so we've all had a few beverages. Nobody's driving anywhere.
Right.
But he was just a little ahead. I mean, he said it to him. And I mean, yeah.
Instantly. Hello, Carter. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so this one just happened like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
All right.
I work at this card shop where we deal with like Pokemon, Magic, nerd stuff, right?
Have you been robbed yet?
Only 2 times.
Damn. And is it Pokemon that they go after?
Usually.
Okay. Yeah, that's the hot one.
What's the profile of this guy? Is he coming in and going, I want those cards? Or is he like,
give me all your money.
I mean, like, what kind of dude is this?
It's usually not really like a rob. They usually just try to slip out. But I do remember this one where he left the building looking like a cartoon supervillain.
Okay. Yeah, I never catch me now.
Whatever you're thinking of is exactly what he looked
jumped
like.
Into his Pontiac Aztec and drove away.
That's exactly. It was with the Ravens on it too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But this specific day,
nice call.
Closing up. I'm closing the shop, and we have a specific box set aside for the high valuable stuff. So I'm putting this box into the safe, and even though I put a chair in the middle of the walkway because I like to sit on a chair while I'm on the computer working, I had this chair in the middle of the walkway. I tripped over it anyway, even though I put it there. And I ended up dropping this box, and this box was worth roughly $35,000.
Oh, did you destroy any of the cards?
As far as I've seen so far, no, because I haven't looked through all of them since then. I just put them all back in the box and left. So I haven't seen all of them yet, but as far as so far, no.
Does anyone know that you have done this?
Unless they're listening right now.
Yeah. So, like, the same, like, I don't assume it's the same 16-year-olds that, like, storm the pot store.
Right.
Like, this is a different kind of holdup.
Oh, sure.
Altogether. Like, this person comes in with a trench coat, you know what I mean, like a spy hat on.
Because I feel in a place like that, you can, and no one gives you a second look.
Got a button-up shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Did he have, like, I feel like he has, like, a gun for, like, the 1700s, right? He's got to, like, put the gunpowder in there and pull the thing back.
Hold on, fella.
Did he have a shorter sidekick?
No, just he was by himself.
Okay. Right.
Was he wearing a duster?
And how much money worth of cards was he trying to roll out of there with?
He took specifically a Pokemon deck, which it has the art as if it's worth anything, but we were charging like $12 for it.
Okay.
So a $12 card.
No, group was 60 cards worth about $12.
All right. 60 cards for $12.
That's ridiculous.
No.
That's like robbing a 7-Eleven and being like, I want all the big bites.
Right. And that's it.
Right.
Close the register.
And one Slurpee.
Right.
Yeah, and two tins of Zone.
Right.
That's it. Do you want any money, sir?
No.
Hell
no.
No.
I'm going to seize all this stuff. Southwest Airlines is on the defense after...
Throw it into keto.
After two blind passengers found themselves left behind by an Orlando-bound plane.
Oh.
The mishap that ended with a pair flying to the city solo on their own. Basically, they were on a private flight. Camille Tate and Sherry Brunn, both from Florida, had booked a July 14th flight from New Orleans to Orlando. And they waited at the gate as the flight was delayed for 5 hours. While other passengers were quietly shifted to an earlier Orlando-bound flight.
Don't let the blind people know they're on the plane. Damn.
Don't tell the blind.
Yeah, Tate and Brunn were at the original gate, unaware of the change. The two say they missed the memo, literally, because no one verbally informed them of the rebooking. And they posted visuals. They said those are useless to passengers who can't see. The result, they boarded their intended flight to discover they were the only ones on board. You're the only two people on this flight because they forgot about you. A gate agent reportedly told them.
Damn, we don't have to tell them that.
Well, they wouldn't know. While Southwest ultimately got them to their destination, the airline's apology included just a $100 voucher each.
As a
spokesman put it, the woman technically did complete their journey. Tate and Brunn, however, say the ordeal highlights a larger problem. The way they help their customers who require additional assistance just needs to change a little.
How did nobody say anything to him? I was asleep at a gate once, and a guy woke me up and finally said, "Hey, man, I think they changed your gate. You should get out."
That was a passenger.
Right.
So, but you can see these people are blind.
But there's no way none of the passengers.
There's no way you can't see
one of them. My thing is,
they get the sticks and the stuff.
I would have been like, "Hey guys, do you like? They're changing our gate."
You know what I'm talking about.
Here's my question: if you're blind, why would you book a flight on Southwest? Like, don't you just kind of pick what
you're going to sit in someone's lap and you don't even know it?
That's what I'm saying. Just like any other airline, like you have assigned seats, they will help you get.
That's how you get a good seat.
Southwest. That's like, dude, it's a free for all, and you're blind.
That's how you get a good seat,
dude. I'm sitting here, man. It just seems like a really bad idea.
What if it's like getting on a bus though? All of a sudden, a blind guy gets on there, like, "Excuse me, sir, could you please move so that we can seat this gentleman here?"
Well, they do that.
There you go. So that's why they would do Southwest.
But somebody knows. They got the wraparound glasses. You know, for some reason, the light comes into the sides of their eyes, even though they're blind. And they get the stick. You should know.
Now, why do you wear sunglasses if you're blind?
Cane, man.
No, because sometimes the eyes
it's
look
not a cane. Because it's oh, right, four feet in front of him.
Actually, the first time I saw the eyes of someone blind was Stevie Wonder. And I can't remember. He was being interviewed by someone.
It's right? Blind stick.
And for 1 second, he lifted up his shades. He was kind of making fun of someone. He lifted up his shades. I was a kid when I saw this, and I was like, what is going on back there, man?
Would you trip the blind guy in the bus? Did he have a stick?
Yes.
Yeah, see? Mm-hmm. See?
He had a cane, Miles.
How does he know when to get off?
They'll say it on the bus.
No, they do boom. Not.
Now approaching.
Yeah.
Royal Broom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I and then you that. Push the button, and it's like... Now it tells you to remain seated until the bus comes to a stop.
Yeah, I guess they say 34.
You were on a bus with a dog. You don't think a blind guy can figure out
the dog knew where to get off because he was looking out the window and he saw the park. And he just,
well, I bet the blind person, besides the fact they announced
the dog can see.
Well, he probably knows how many stops are in between.
Do you know what they give blind people so they can figure out where to go? A dog.
The one that blew my mind was the blinded deaf guy on the light rail. That time that I came up to see you, Ted, we went over to Olaf's, there was a blind and deaf guy. He actually had a pin that was like, I'm blind and deaf. Okay, and he was on the train going all the way up. And I was like, how does he know what stop is his?
Right. Who sucks less?
He waited until it came into the stop and he stood right up. He knew it.
He knew.
He knew.
Hang on. In your defense, back then, Northgate was the last stop.
It was the last stop.
But how do you know it's the last stop?
Because the train turns around, goes the other direction.
Because he started
settling. But that's what I'm saying. By the time I would figure it out, I'm at the stop before the last stop.
Like, the train was rumbling into the station, and he was clearly getting ready to stand up. He was collecting his things. He knew that was where he was stopping.
The other side of his pen said, psych.
It's like that moment when I was on that train, realized, this is not the direction to Vancouver. I'm going to the wrong Vancouver.
Got to read the whole pen.
Who's next? Last is coming up at 4:30.
I can read fine.
And we got your emails on the way next to the men's room at KISW.com.